This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the song. And I want to begin, before I go into announcements, thank you for letting us get away for a couple of weeks. And we spent 10 days in Gatlinburg, and we encountered bears every day in one form or another. So I want to share with you this morning, it's two clips, like minute and a half, couple minutes each, of our closest encounter. Well, that's not the first. Go back to the other one. Go back to the other one. The other one. I named him Sack Lunch, and I videotaped him right beside our cabin. I could have reached over the rail and pet him on the head, like a teenager. So this is Sack Lunch.
What are you doing? Sneaking around here.
Okay, now let's go to the second one. He climbed up in the maintenance truck. They were cleaning across the street, threw a sack out, and he's eating lunch.
Hey, hey, get out of here.
They honked an air horn at him, and he was busy. Now, Kim's behind me saying, come in the cabin, come in the cabin.
Hey, hey, you.
Those horns do nothing for them.
For it.
They said that our cabin was on the path where the bears came up
doing?
From the woods.
Hey.
So, okay, that's good on that one. He just did not want to leave. Okay, that's good. Thanks. So, our first morning, you saw that white vehicle was our van, our SUV, our Pilot. And the first morning we heard car honking like crazy right in front of our cabin. And I said, something's going on, Kim. So we got up and went to the windows and the door. And a big 450-pound mother bear, she was about this tall on her, you know, standing on all four, was there with her grown cub twice the size of that one. And she had opened the door to our SUV. They can open the doors. She asked if we could turn the radio on. No, she opened the door to the van and they started honking, thank God. And she took off down the road with her grown like 150 pound child, you know. And so we had some tell us that bears had gotten in their vehicles and the doors had slammed on them, and they just tore them all to pieces. There's videos. If you want to Google it, you can watch videos of them doing that. And then fishing, there was one bear that crossed me twice, two mornings on the other side of the river going into town. And I've seen that bear 3 or 4 years in a row. In fact, we're on a first name basis now. And but we had a great time, caught trout, got to share Jesus a bunch, visited a couple churches. I'll be sharing more with you on one of the churches we visited and some insights from that. And we just had a wonderful time. So thank y'all so much for letting us go. And we really appreciated the time together. So one announcement, we're going to be taking a trip to the Gardeners, where they're on location on mission to that country. And they've started a baseball ministry to reach young people for Christ and their parents. There's no baseball there hardly, and yet the country wants baseball, and they need gloves. So if you've got some old baseball gloves, Kim and I bought this at Goodwill for $3. And I'm going to take a big duffel bag full of hard baseballs and baseball gloves. So if you want to help with that, if you've got some old gloves around the house that your kids or grandkids don't use anymore or whatever, bring them in. And they have nothing there as far as this goes. And this ministry is really starting to blow up for them. And they're getting a lot of influence. The government wants them to do it. And so if you want to help with that, just bring in some baseball gloves. We'll collect them in the lobby, and we're going to take those over Thanksgiving to see them, or take them or send them. So I want to encourage you to help us with that. Now, a week from tomorrow is our men's prayer breakfast at Berry Fresh, and so I want to remind you men to come and be a part of that and that fellowship. And then we'd like to encourage you to join a life group. We're going to be restarting our young adult life group in 2 weeks. And I want you to encourage you to help get the word out for that. And we're going to be making an outreach there for young adults, young couples, young adults. And so I want to encourage you to help us with that. And then also we've got a fundraiser at Blaze Pizza coming up next Sunday and from 5 to 8. So we'll see you at Blaze. 15% of all the proceeds for those 3 hours will help us and come to us for what we're doing. And then on tomorrow night, we're having our soul winning summer at 6, and want to encourage you to come and be a part of that with us as well. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be together and to worship you. And I want to ask you, please, today especially, if you'll just illuminate my heart and mind and our hearts and minds as we look into your character, some of the aspects of your personality. And, Lord, that you will drive these home to our heart so that we can know you and worship you in a greater way. And we just want to tell you we love you today. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for everything you provide in our lives. And I want to thank you publicly for Kim, my sweetheart. Thank you for this wonderful wife, pastor's wife, friend, partner, competitor. And Lord, I just want to ask you please to bless her today. And we just want to tell you we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pray with me, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day and all the many blessings that you bestow upon us every day. Thank you for the praise and worship team bringing us into a spirit of worship. And thank you for bringing Pastor and Kim home and we'll celebrate their 45th anniversary, sixth. When it gets to 100, we're selling. Father, please bless this time and this draws closer to you, Father. And help us. We want to feel your holy presence, Father. We love you and praise you and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rick, can you come up here with me? Rick Castro is going in Wednesday to have a vascular polyp removed from his throat, and I thought you might want to pray with me for him. Let's pray together for him, all right? So if you want to extend your hand toward him, let's pray together. Father, we just want to thank you for Rick. We love him. We love his sweet spirit, his love for you, his love for your kingdom, and his love for us. And I just want to ask you, please, Almighty God, just to pour your spirit out upon him and touch him. And if you would, dear God, just supernaturally remove this polyp from him where he won't have to have the surgery Wednesday. And if that's not your will, if you want to use the skill of the surgeons, we pray that you'll make them very attentive and that they'll take care of his problem and that he'll heal quickly. But we want to ask you to heal him as you can do, as a testimony for your greatness. And we just want to thank you for Rick. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're welcome. I love you. Okay, good. We want to dismiss our children for Children's Church at this time. Well, when we think about our knowledge of each other, especially those of you married, husband, wife, the way we learn to know our children and their different personalities, and friends, the way we and get acquainted with people at church, and you know, we learn people's characteristics, we learn their likes and dislikes, their preferences, their convictions, the determination, we learn their character, whether they're truthful or not, whether they're honest and whether they're generous or not. And so as we do that and develop this relationship, now one of the joys of marriage, and for a man and a woman, and this is why God designed it this way, and there is no other way. There's no other way blessed by God as far as a man and a woman, is because as we go along and recognize men are concrete thinkers, women are integrated thinkers, and men are stinkers and women are thinkers, you know, but not really. But so the idea is with women, there's just a mystery to them. Now, my dad, before he died, handed me a little bitty tablet book. It was about this big. And he wrote on there with a pencil, "Everything I know about women." And it was blank. Blank. There were nothing written in it. And one of the things about being married, a man and a woman is complex, and they're constantly changing, and there's a marvel to it that in our relationship that keeps a man guessing. Now, a woman will say, "I know him backwards and forwards." And every honest man will say, "I can't quite figure her out," you know. And that's good. That's God's design. That's the way he planned it. But as we do get to know each other, distinctions, in fact, the longer you're married, you get to the point where you know each other so well that you know if the other's offended or not. You know if their spirit's open or closed or not. You know these things without a word being said. You know from mannerisms. You know from all of these things. Now, I want to transfer that over this morning to our knowledge of God and knowing God. J.I. Packer wrote a great book, Knowing God. I had the opportunity to be a professor for a Moody night school, and I use that book as a textbook, Knowing God. And in the idea is that you and I understand God, that we figure out God. And the only way we can really do that, I mean, there is an aspect to it that's experiential, like when he speaks to our spirit, and when he tells us to do things, and we learn to listen to that still small voice, and it warns us, it directs us, it encourages us. There's that aspect of our relationship with him. But when we know about him and his character and the things he does and the things that he won't do and all of these aspects of his personality, we find really all of those in Scripture. Now, God being infinite, I could argue with you, I can't state it from Scripture because there's no verse that says it, but God could have millions of personality traits. Now, we can't. we're very limited. There's only, in fact, you can make lists of and virtually exhaust how many personality traits we have. But God has possibly millions. Now, in his revelation to us in Scripture, we have dozens and dozens and dozens of aspects of the nature of God, the character of God, how he acts. And so today we're going to take one of the Psalms, nine verses, and we're going to look at eight of those character traits and how we're to relate to those in our worship of God. And so I want your takeaway to be this morning from the passage we look at to really key in on these eight things and to develop them. This is just a starting point for you today with our look at this chapter and our study of this chapter. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 99. Now, Kim and I had the opportunity to visit. We always worship when we're gone. We find a church somewhere every Sunday. And we visited Harvest Church in Memphis. They have two services. The service we attended was the 9 o'clock, the early. And at first it looked like half full, not even. And they kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And there wound up being a little over 1,000 in that service. It'd seat 1,200. And I really had some great takeaways from that. What's interesting, in the same facility is an older church that was Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, and they were meeting in a really beautiful traditional chapel with pews, a pulpit that looked almost like ours, and they had 25 in their service. And so I had the opportunity to interview the pastor's wife there. I'm going to share that with the building committee tomorrow afternoon, and we're going to go through some of the things. I took pictures, and it was interesting because normally when we go to the mega churches when we're gone on vacay, if on the times we go to one of those, nobody has a Bible. It's really loud. This is what I hear from y'all. And this one was not like that, this Harvest Church. It was, the music was praise and worship. It was contemporary with some traditional, but it was not overpowering, and everybody there had a Bible. Out of 1,000 people, I'd say 750 of them had a Bible, and I thought that was really unusual, and what I experienced with that, just God spoke to me in a great way with that. And so today I want you to look in your Bibles, and I want you on your notes, if you've got your notes there, if you look, there's a verse, Psalm 34:3 at the top. I'd like us to read that one together on the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Together. So we want today look at eight ways that we can worship the Lord, eight aspects of the Lord we're to worship, some of this even relates to how we're to worship. First of all, we see that we worship the Lord in his sovereignty. And we're looking here at Psalm 99, beginning in verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake. Here we see the Lord's sovereignty. Let the earth shake. He's above us all. He is the sovereign. Now, it's interesting when we think about sovereigns that carries with it the very thing. They're in control. They're in total control. They have complete control. In Psalm 97:1, just a couple of chapters back, it says, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns. Now, there's times we look around, we say, he can't be in control. Look what's going on. Wars, sex trafficking, and human slavery, and murder, and all these other things, robbery, and injustice, and all these other things. We say, surely he's not, but he is. And some of what he's allowing to happen is a judgment in itself.
But we see Exodus 25, 22, a sovereign, in this verse, I wanted to say, a sovereign commands us, and a contemporary gives us suggestions. God is not, in the Bible, really giving suggestions. He's saying, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying, I am not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And then he gave us 10 commandments. And then if you look in the Old Testament, there's actually dozens and dozens and dozens of commandments. And he doesn't say 10 suggestions. He says 10 commandments. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 22, and there I will meet you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. So he said, I'm going to meet you in the Holy of Holies between these massive golden angels, the cherubim, and I am going to give you commandments, and I'm going to speak to you there. And we're to worship this sovereign. In Psalm 81, it says, thou art enthroned above the cherubim. Shine forth. Shine forth. So right now, we're seated here in church. We're here on earth. And at the same time, God Almighty is seated on his throne with all of his infinity and all of his omniscience and all of his character and all of his power. And so we see that we're to worship the Lord in his sovereignty. Number two, we worship the Lord in his regality. In verses 2 and 3, the Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the people. Let them praise thy name, an awesome name. Holy is he. So we see this, the holiness of God. We see this regality of God. In Psalm 97, 9 says, for thou art the Lord most high over all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all little g gods, above all gods. And so we see this aspect of God, and we're to praise him. There was a country preacher that had a mule, and he trained it with two commands. His command to go was amen. When you say amen, the donkey would take off. His command to stop it was praise the Lord. No, I got that wrong. To make it go was praise the Lord. To stop it was amen. So he sold it to one of his friends. And his friend bought this mule, and he started riding it. And he called out to it after he was gone, and he was out in the country. And he was actually near a cliff, and he called out to it, amen. And the donkey took off, and then he was freaking out, and he forgot how to stop it. He said, whoa, whoa, stop, stop, whoa, whoa. And then finally he remembered, and he gave the command to stop it. And when it stopped, he said, praise the Lord. And it went right off the cliff. So you got to be careful with your commands with a pastor-trained donkey. But we are to praise the Lord, and we're to worship the Lord in his regality. Number three, we worship the Lord in his equity, his justice. In verse 4, it says, and the strength of the king loves justice. Thou hast established equity. Thou hast executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. That could also be judgment and uprightness in Jacob. God loves justice. God loves a balanced scale. When we think of Lady Justice, we think of this woman blindfolded with a scale, an even scale in front of her. And she's weighing it with indifference. She's weighing it in non-partiality, non-bias, and she's weighing it in equity and justice and balance. And God says he's like that, and God says that he loves that. He hates
an unjust balance. He hates a corrupt scale. He hates it. In Psalm 11:7, it says, "For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face." If you're a righteous person, if you're an upright person, if you're a person that loves truth, honesty, equity, then God in his sovereignty says you'll see his face. You'll behold him. If that is the character of your life, I want to encourage all of you that we just make a resolution here, a mid-year resolution, that we're going to love righteousness. We're going to love it. And we're going to seek it in our own personal lives. And we're going to live for it in a supernatural way. Psalm 33:5, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. And here we see in this passage given by the Holy Spirit that he's talking about that righteousness and justice is an expression of the love of God. Now we look in this life and we say, I see injustice. I see corruption. I see graft. I mean, right now they say our Congress has an 18% approval rating. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And God says, I love righteousness. I love justice. And he desires for us to walk in that in a supernatural way. Number four, we worship the Lord in his presence. Verse 5, exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. So we can picture that. He's saying, I've given you access to the throne. I want you to come and right where my feet are seating, the feet of God Almighty, the ruler of the universe. He's seated there with his feet on his footstool, and he says, why don't you just come right on up to my footstool? Why don't you come right up in close proximity to him? And you and I should be in awe of that. Now, this is a true story. I don't know about the country preacher and his mule, but this is a true story. This really happened. Kansas City, Missouri, Häagen-Dazs ice cream store. A woman went in there to buy ice cream, a middle-aged lady, and she walks in, and who's standing at the counter? Paul Newman, the actor. And when she saw him and he looked at her with his piercing blue eyes, her words, I got weak at the knees. She got weak at the knees. And she looks at him and looks at him, looks at him. She orders her ice cream. She leaves the shop just in a tizzy, you know, just spinning. I've just met Paul Newman and I've encountered that handsome actor. And she's walking down the sidewalk and she's looking. She said, I forgot my ice cream. So she turns around. She's going back. And Newman was there filming the movie Mr. and Mrs. Bridge. And when she gets to the door, Newman's coming out. And he said, you're looking for your ice cream. And she said, yeah, I forgot it. He said, no, you didn't. You put it in your purse with your keys. She was overwhelmed in the presence of Paul Newman. God wants us to be overwhelmed in his presence. And he's got more than piercing blue eyes, I want to tell you. He's got eyes with Shekinah glory, like a beam, like lightning. I mean, he is a terror to be reckoned with. And yet, he loves us with loving kindness, the loving kindness of the ages. We worship the Lord in his equity and justice.
And he loves us, and we worship the Lord in his presence. Number five, we worship the Lord in answered prayer, verse 6. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He answered them. Now, a little bit ago, we prayed for Rick. We prayed for many of you for healings, for jobs, for a place to live, various things. And through the years, it's been so exciting to see God respond. And sometimes, I wish it was always, but sometimes it's immediate. Immediate. And when he does, and we, you and I, personally receive an answer to prayer, worship should just emanate from our life. Thank you, Lord. Now, we've got a prayer room right around the corner here covered with sticky notes of answered prayers. Prayers that have gone up from here and from this prayer room and from some of our sweet people praying in there. And years ago in my first church, our pianist and organist was a preacher's daughter, Becky Dowdy. And Becky was a middle-aged lady, well, actually almost right on early senior, and she had some real problems and some physical problems and had to go into the hospital. And they did a surgery on her and an abdominal surgery. And we went to see her. We were having a revival, and the evangelist, Dr. Sterling from Liberty, we went to visit her at the hospital. And we walked in, and Becky, we're going to have to leave soon. You know, we've got the revival tonight, the Bible conference, and just wanted to come by and pray for you. Thank you, Pastor. How can Dr. Sterling and I pray for you? Well, I've had this abdominal surgery, and for 2 days I've had a buildup of abdominal gas, and they've given me medication to get rid of it. That hadn't worked. I've been walking the hallways like a Trojan, you know, and that hadn't worked. Nothing's worked, and I am in such discomfort. I feel like a beach ball, an overinflated beach ball. And it's gone past discomfort. It's pain. Would you pray for me? Sure, Becky, we'll pray for you. So Dr. Sterling and I went over. Each of us held her hand. We prayed for her. Lord, please give Becky relief. Please touch her. And then we said, we got to go, and we left. And so we immediately left, went through the doors, down the hallway, gone. It's interesting that a couple of Sundays later, Becky was back in church, and she was playing the instruments for us again. And she stopped me in the service, said, Pastor, can I give a testimony? And I said, well, of course you can. And she said, y'all know I grew up a pastor's daughter. I was around prayer my whole life. We prayed. And then she started crying. And she said, Pastor and Dr. Sterling came by to see me and pray for me. And she described her situation. And she said, when they left, I got immediate relief. I mean, instantly, as soon as the doors closed behind them from my room. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, but, I mean, that's a big deal. And she was squalling, and she said, this is the first time in my life that God has done something for me specifically, exactly, immediately like that. And I just want to praise him. Can I hear an amen? And this is why we pray. This is why I asked Rick to hang over for a minute for us to pray for him. This is why if you come and see me after a service for me to pray for you, I will pray for you right then. I've prayed for years in the lobby, in the public. I had a guy ride up on a bicycle at Publix parking lot. The kids were in the car. I got out. Dad, don't get out. No, I want to share Jesus with him. I witnessed to him.
And he prayed to receive Christ, but he also said he had some real lower back pain. So I prayed for him. And then he rode off. He rode off with salvation, and I'd prayed for his back. I was there about 3 weeks later, and he rode back into the parking lot again when I was there. He rode straight up to me. And he said, I just want you to know that when I rode away from you, before I got out of the parking lot, my back pain was gone and I haven't had it since. Can I hear an amen? I was eating lunch with Nick Bennett and Justin Tenkate, our worship leader at that time. And we were eating at a barbecue place, and we were there, and there was a very heavily pregnant waitress there. And our waitress was serving us. This girl wasn't serving us. And we asked, is there anything we can pray for you about? And she said, you can pray for my friend. She's having complications with her pregnancy, and they may have to terminate it. I said, can she come over in a minute when she's got a second and let us pray for her? Let me pray for her. She said, yes, you can. And so she got her. She came over, and she told us the baby was breech, and the cord was, I think, around the baby's neck, and there was a lot of complications and problems. And they said wasn't positioned properly, and they were afraid she's going to lose it. She said, I'm going in tomorrow for them to give a determination on whether I need to have a final resolution. And she was so upset, obviously. So prayed for her. Oh, God, just touch her. Turn this baby around. Free this baby up. And prayed for her. Well, we were eating at that time at the restaurant twice a week because they had some extra points they gave us. And we figured it all out. And so we wound up getting a free meal every third lunch. So we were... We were back at the end of the week. It's Thursday or Friday. We're back in there. It was like 2 days after we were there before. And this waitress asked for our table, and she came up. She said, she started crying. She said, I just want you to know, Pastor, y'all prayed for me. And I went in yesterday, and the baby is miraculously repositioned. The doctor could not believe it. And said, I mean, I'm good to go. It's going to go okay, full term and everything. And I just want to praise the Lord. Can I hear an amen? We see that sometimes God wants us to praise him in prayer, answered prayer, and acknowledge him. How many times do we pray for something? He does it, and we never even thank him. Lord, let that hurricane stay off the shore. And he does it, and then we say, good, I'm glad that didn't hit us. We don't even thank him. Or he helps you or he intercedes for you. And he wants us to worship him. He wants us to praise him in our answered prayers. Then, number six, we worship the Lord in his holy word. Verse 7, he spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies in the statute that he gave them. His testimonies, that's his word. His statutes that he gave them, that's his word. And he wants us to worship him in his word, his holy word. This is why you need to be reading the word of God. You need to be reading the word of God daily. You need to be intaking. Man, woman does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, even the genealogies. Boy, I read through those so fast. In fact, now I'm just reading the names of the people. I don't read the begat, 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 begat. I just read the names of the people. But every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he wants us to respond in that way. Number 7, we worship the Lord in his mercy. His mercy extended to us. His love, his loving kindness, his patience and graciousness. O Lord, our God, thou didst answer them. Thou wast a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. We see that God is loving. and that he intercedes for us, and that he sent his son Jesus to die in our stead. It's said that Cyrus, the founder of the Persian Empire, once had captured a prince and his family. And when they came before him, the monarch asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" "The half of my wealth," was the reply, "and if I release your children, everything I possess. And if I release your wife, your majesty, I will give myself." Cyrus was so moved by his devotion that he freed the prince and their whole family. And as they returned home, the prince said to his wife, "Wasn't Cyrus a handsome man?" And with a look of deep love for her husband, she said to him, "I didn't notice. I could only keep my eyes on you, the one who is willing to give himself for me." That's the case. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. He is the one who is willing to give himself for us. Can I hear an amen? And then finally, number 8, we worship the Lord in his holiness. Verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. We've gone over this many times before. Holiness is separated. Holiness is different. Holiness is set apart. God is set apart from us. He is distinct and unique from his creation. We can learn characteristics of God, like the laws of nature, the laws of gravity, that when he makes laws, they're followed. They're immutable. You can depend on them. But he is set apart. And you and I, when we approach him, we should approach him that way. I've thought about it. I wish I could always do it. I do it sometimes. I'll wash my hands before I have my devotions because I'm handling God's word. Then, unfortunately, I'll take that Bible out to the car and throw it in the back seat. But, you know, we see that God is holy, and we're to respect him, and we're to honor him, and we're to recognize him. And I'd like you to take these 8 things, these 8 characteristics, and develop them in your own readings, in your own Bible study, and develop them in your outlook toward God, your understanding of him as you relate to him. And I want us to share them together. I want you to repeat them after me. Number 1, sovereignty. Number 2, regality. Number 3, equity. Number 4, his presence. Number 5, answered prayer. Number 6, holy word. Number 7, mercy. Number 8, holiness. Holiness. Father, I just want to tell you I love you. I thank you for our people. Thank you for your presence here today. I ask you, please, dear God, just to protect these people and fill them with your Holy Spirit. I pray you'll live through them. Give them great joy as they leave here today. And Father, this week, revolutionize their worship. As they interact with you, as they meet with you, as they recognize you and talk to you and get with you and spend time with you, make that a priority in every one of their lives. And Lord, I just want to tell you I love you. Thank you for all these good and perfect gifts. Thank you for all you do for us. You can't worship him if you don't know him personally. And I'd like to invite you right now to ask him into your life in a real way. not academically, not intellectually, in a real relational, personal way. And just say, Lord, I do want to know you personally. I do want to experience you. I do want to worship you the way you want to be worshiped. Lord, I love you. Thank you for dying for me and paying for me and forgiving me. I receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Mark has a testimony he wants to share with you. This is Mark Hennebach, one of our deacons, a life group leader. Let's give him a hand.
I want to thank everyone who prays for my health. The multiple myeloma numbers are slowly going in the wrong way. But on May 7th, I learned that I was diagnosed with chronic kidney disease. CKD is fatal. It's non-operable. There's no drugs. There's no process. And I saw my primary care physician last week, and he said, all of your CKD symptoms have disappeared.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, Mark. That's a mitigated death sentence. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Thanks for praying. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We'll keep praying for everything else too, Mark. Love you guys, and look forward. A couple of reminders. I want to remind you about our men's prayer breakfast over at Berry Fresh a week from tomorrow. And our building committee, remind you about our 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. And look forward to sharing with you some insights here in the future soon. I want to remind you, if you can, baseball gloves, if you've got any hanging around. I know a lot of you senior adults are out in the yard throwing ball. You know, I'm sure that, hey, honey, let's go pitch the baseball. You know, I do have one that'll do that. When I prayed for her competitiveness, she is competitive. She beats me in ping pong. I do. I think we've been halving the bowling lately, but she beats me in bowling a lot. She loves the sports that she can stomp me in. You know, I can still beat her in basketball, but, you know, but we have a good time. In fact, her mother said, Daryl, when we were dating, she can beat you in anything. I said, Mama Jo, that's just not possible. Oh, no, Kimmy Jo's very competitive. Well, okay, but she can't. But she played college softball, and you saw her catch the glove a while ago. She's really good. So, again, I just want to tell you publicly, I love you. I've enjoyed these last 46 years. Look forward to us flying out of here together with Jesus soon. Love you guys. God bless you. You're dismissed.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stuart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I've learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Apostle Joyce Cranfield with the Rosa Sharing Radio Broadcast. Join me each Saturday at 8:45 a.m. on WCNO to hear a message from the Word of God.
The dust he has ransomed me, his grace.